Revelation chapter 2 tonight. Revelation chapter number 2. I got started on this and I might as well go because we've been teaching on the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. And several weeks ago I was reading and that little phrase, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." And so we just need to look at these churches and see what God's trying to say. Amen. There's something in every one of them for us. Amen. And I appreciate that. We're looking tonight at verse number 12, reading about the church at Pergamos. "And to the angel of the church in Pergamos write, these things saith he which hath the sharp sword with two edges." Listen, I'm getting ahead of myself. But I can't help it. I got to studying and I got to thinking about everything that I have that needs to be sharpened. My lawnmower blades need to be sharpened. My knives need to be sharpened. My chainsaw needs to be sharpened. But I've got a book in front of me that never needs to be sharpened. It's just as sharp today as it was the day God spoke it. Amen. Sharper than any two-edged sword. That blesses me. Amen. Forever settled in heaven, preserved the Word of God. He said to the church, Jesus said to the church at Pergamos, "I know thy works and where thou dwellest." You know what? I'm just paraphrasing that. I'm trying to get started, but God knows what we're doing and he knows where we're at. I said, God knows what we're doing and he knows where we're at. I'll guarantee you there'll be times that you think, "Lord, where are you?" You might not know where he's at, but he always knows where you're at. Amen. And he knows what you need. "I know thy works and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is. And thou holdest fast my name, and hast not denied my faith." Boy, look at that. I just caught something right there. He didn't say, "hath not denied your faith." Did you know faith is a gift of God? That God gives it to you? Think about that. He gives every man a measure of faith. And then what you do with that measure is going to determine whether you get anything go with it or not. "For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God." Nobody got saved without God giving somebody the faith. Amen. The Bible said here, "my faith." You have not denied my faith, even in those days wherein Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was slain among you where Satan dwelleth. But I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols, and to commit fornication. So hast thou also them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which thing I hate." Repent. That's a big word. He wasn't talking to the people in the bar room. He wasn't talking to the people on Skid Row. He's talking to the church at Pergamos. And he said, repent. It's a bad mistake for God's people to think that repentance is only for sinners. I love what Brother Mitchell said. If you've ever repented, you're still repenting. I like that. Amen. How true that is. Repent or else. We don't like to be given an ultimatum, but God gives the church an ultimatum. Repent or else I will come unto thee quickly and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and I will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it. Father, I thank you tonight for the reading of the Word of God. I am absolutely thrilled tonight, Lord, to be here with your people. God, I pray that you would just honor every prayer request tonight. None of them, Lord, are given lightly. And I know that in the throne room of heaven, none of them are taken lightly. God, I pray, Lord, you'll help our people. Lord, I pray for those that are lost. I pray, God, that you'll speak to their heart. Help us tonight, Lord, to glean something from the church at Pergamos. Give us ears to hear what the Spirit of God would say to us. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Let me give you just a little bit of a background real quick on Pergamos. It was a political capital of the Roman province of Asia Minor. And when John wrote, Pergamos had been the capital city of the region for more than 300 years. The city was a noted center for culture, education, having one of the greatest libraries with over 200,000 volumes. In that day and time, that was awesome. Amen. It was an extremely religious city. It had temples to the Greek and the Roman gods, Dionysus, Athena, Demeter, and Zeus. It also had three temples dedicated to the worship of the Roman emperor. And so tonight, I want to make a distinction right here. The city was extremely religious. Beloved, listen. There's a difference between religion and relationship. They didn't say the city, these people knew God. I say this before and I say it again. Everybody's going to worship something or someone. Amen. And we might as well worship the Lord. Jesus said, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father. This is the will of him that sent me, that you believe on him whom he has sent. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? In thy name cast out devils. In thy name done many wonderful works. I will profess to them, I never knew you, you that work iniquity. Right after that, in the scripture, the book of Matthew, God gives you the parable of those that build on the rock and those that build on the sand. And so those that build on the rock are those that are building on the foundation of the Lord Jesus Christ. And tonight, I want you just to think about tonight, the who is speaking here. It is none other than the Lord Jesus, and he knows what's going on in the churches. Jesus knows our works, and he knows where we are. When he was praying in the garden, I want you to think about, I gave you that little bit of background on Pergamos, because when he said where Satan's seat is, Satan had a stronghold in Pergamos. And by the way, beloved, listen, America, the stronghold is getting stronger every day. The prince and the power of the air. Amen. And so we need the Lord's help. Listen to what Jesus said in John chapter 17 and verse number 11. He said, now I'm no more in the world. He's praying to the Father. But these are in the world, and I come to thee, Holy Father. Keep through thine own name those that thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in my name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept. And none of them is lost but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. Here's what I want to get to tonight. And now I come to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. Don't forget that after a while. God wants us to have joy. Amen. But you're not going to have joy mingling with Satan and his seat. Amen. And so he commends them, but then he corrects them. He said, I've given them thy word, and the world hath hated them because they're not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou should take them out of the world, but thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Jesus said, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. That's the only way we can make it. Amen. In a society that's turned its back on God. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I sent them. The word of God tells us here that Antipas, he was a man that was a faithful martyr. I learned something right here. I want you to take your Bible and turn just back a page, if it's a Bible like mine, to Revelation chapter number 1. And let's look at verse number 5. The word of God said here, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness. I'm not going to read the whole verse. I got to what I needed to get to. That word witness right there in the Greek is the same word that's martyr in verse number 13. Isn't that something? Beloved, listen. Jesus died for his witness, and Antipas died for his witness as well. It comes from a Greek word that means that's pronounced martus, and he's a martyr. Amen. And he was willing to give his life because of the witness that he had for the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe it's encouraging tonight to know that Stephen and Antipas, and down through the ages, many have been willing to give their life rather than deny the Lord Jesus Christ and deny the faith. Amen. It was a very difficult environment that they lived in Pergamos, but it did not excuse them from the few things that Jesus had against them. There were those there who held the doctrine of Balaam. Balaam, he combined the sins of immorality and idolatry to please Balak, the king of Moab, because he would not curse the children of Israel directly. I want to give you something here tonight. The doctrine of Balaam. In a moment, I'm going to read the footnote in the Scofield Bible. But it involves teaching or behavior that leads to compromising one's faith by adopting or condoning practices contrary to God's commands. Listen, I've actually run into problems in the ministry before. Listen to me. Because I wouldn't compromise. Are you listening to me? I'm telling you, beloved, listen. When you find out that someone in the church is a sodomite, they have no business being a part of that church. Amen? And I'm telling you, beloved, tonight, listen. You say, Pastor, don't you think they can get saved? For a while, I didn't understand if they could or not. But then I was reading in Corinthians. I believe they can. I don't know. I don't know where they are. The Bible said in Romans chapter 1, God showed me this. He gave them up. He gave them up. And then the Word of God said he gave them over to a reprobate mind. I believe if they're ever given over to a reprobate mind, they'll never be saved. But you and I don't know where they are in the process. But here's what Paul said to the church of Corinth. He said, effeminate, abusers of themselves with mankind. He said, such were some of you. But you're washed. You're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And God showed me, yes, depending on where they are in that process, amen, they can be saved. I want you to know tonight, beloved, listen, when a church starts compromising, amen, listen, Jesus, I don't know everything about him, but I know this about him. He wasn't a compromiser. Amen. He stood firm on the truths of the Word of God. Here's what Balaam did. He led others into sin. His counsel led the Israelites to sin by encouraging idolatry and immorality. Compromise with worldly values. Balaam's actions reflected a willingness to compromise with worldly values and practices for personal gain and other motives. You know, listen to me tonight. I didn't mean to say this tonight, but I'm going to go ahead and say it. You know why some men won't preach against sin? I'll tell you why. Why they say that's not in my lane? I'll tell you why. Because that'd get in their pocketbook if they did. A man of God is called to preach the whole counsel of God. And that doesn't mean you tiptoe through and you take the... Listen, you've got to understand that we're responsible. Fathers are responsible to teach their children. Listen, the pastor is responsible. Teachers are responsible not to just go through here and pick out the tulips. Amen. I didn't mean to say that. That'd be Calvinism, wouldn't it? Amen. Sorry, Brother Chris. Some people didn't get that. Amen. Anyway, we've got to preach it all. And some of it ain't real good. Some of it, God has taken, knocked me out of my chair over it. Say amen, as I prepared to preach. C.I. Scofield said this, the doctrine of Balaam was teaching Balak to corrupt the people who could not be cursed by tempting them to marry the women of Moab, defile their separation, and abandon their pilgrim character. Did you all know that we as Christians are pilgrims and strangers on the earth? And we're not to abandon that pilgrim character. It's a union of the world and the church, which is spiritual unchastity. Brother Brian and Brother Vince, come up here a minute. I wasn't going to do this. I've done it before, but I'm going to do it again. They wasn't here when I did it. Amen. I'm going to show you something that's a danger. Get right over there, brother. You come over here, Brother Vince. Right here we are, the church and the world. The church and the world, okay? How many knows the world's changed? So the world changes, go that way, brother. There's a difference between the church and the world. Is that right? But you see this? What the church does is just changes. As long as we keep that gap, long as we're not exactly like them, amen? Okay, then the world changes again. Then the church goes right along. Am I right or am I wrong? Now let me ask you something. We could go all the way to the other side of the stage, but where does the church belong? Get back over. Ain't that right? And there's a danger in our homes. There's a danger in the house of God of compromising. Amen. And Jesus is speaking. Thank you, men. Jesus is speaking against this. Next time I'll let you be the church, Brother Vince. Amen. I don't know how he ended up on the short end of that stick. Amen. Amen. Sexual immorality marked the whole culture of the ancient Roman Empire. Here at Pergamos, it was the beginning. It was beginning to be taught in the church. The church got so worldly and the world got so churchy that you couldn't hardly tell the difference. And then Jesus talked about, so hast thou also them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans. Look in verse number 6 with Ephesus. But this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds. So one church is allowing it, another church is hating it. Amen? The same thing. And what that's talking about there was the idea of a proud authority, a hierarchical separation. And I believe that's where we get our popes and our priests. Now listen to me. I'm not throwing stones. Don't you get me wrong. I'm not throwing stones. But you and I don't have to go in a booth and pay somebody. Jesus already paid for our forgiveness. And we are kings and priests. We have access into the holiest of all. Amen. It's not about a religious hierarchy. Amen. But it's about a Savior. And Jesus said here, that doctrine had begun to creep in to the church. The Christians of Pergamos, they were like the Christians of Corinth that Paul wrote to them. They were too tolerant and accepting of false doctrines and immoral living. And Jesus had to rebuke them. Paul had to rebuke the church at Corinth because of what they were allowing in the church. A difficult environment never justifies compromise. It's easy for a church in such difficulty to justify the compromise. And this is what they're saying. Well, they say something like this. We need all the help we can get. Let me make a statement I've made for years. I'd rather have two or three and Jesus in the midst than I would 2,000 or 3,000 and Him on the outside, knocking on the door, wanting to get in. Amen. I love to see God's people. I love when the church fills up on Sunday morning. But I'm going to tell you something right now. If we're just trying to get a house full, we'll compromise. We can't afford to compromise. Amen. The Word of God. You say, preacher, why don't you just compromise? I'll tell you in a sentence why. Because I'm going to stand before God one day after a while. If you knew the responsibility, you'd pray, God help my preacher. Amen. God help my preacher. The Bible said repent. Comes down to that. Repent or else I will come unto thee quickly. Tonight, Brother Keith, he come here, and I don't know if it was the first or second time he come, but he said, he looked at me and said, Brother Rick, you have something special. He's told the church. He stood in this pulpit and told the church it ain't this way everywhere. You can go in some places and tension's so thick you can cut it with a knife. And I'm going to tell you something right now. I believe it's something to be guarded. The devil would like nothing better than to suck his children. Suck them under. He'd like nothing better for them to see us, something in us that would cause them to say, what's the use? What's the use? Jesus said, repent. Repent. The Bible said in 1 Peter 4:17, for the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel? The Bible said in 1 Corinthians 11, for if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. The Bible said in 1 Corinthians 11:32, but when we're judged, we're chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Jesus has given the church here at Pergamos an opportunity to turn. Amen. He said, if you don't, I'm going to come quickly. Amen. Now I'm going to give you something here in closing tonight, just a couple things quickly. We never want Jesus to be found fighting against us. The Bible said in Romans 8, if God be for us, who can be against us? Well, let me say it like this. Let me turn that around. If God be against us, it ain't going to matter who's for us. You can take that as a nation, the United States of America. I love our country. But if God be against us, it won't matter who's for us. But if God be for us, it won't matter who is against us. If we had all these things in mind, I want to give you something. Look at verse number 17. I will give him a white stone. In the ancient world, the use of a white stone had many associations. I've now come unglued. A white stone could be a ticket to a banquet. It could be a sign of friendship. I read this today. Evidence of having been counted, or as a sign of acquittal in a court of law. And the writer that wrote this paragraph said, Jesus may have had one of these in mind. When I read that, I said, wrong. I believe he had them all in mind. You say, Pastor, what do you mean? Well, how many's been invited to a banquet? Amen. The songwriter said, what a friend we have in Jesus. And then, what about being counted? Here's how it goes. He left the 99. February 22nd, 1987, come out there for one. Amen. You've been counted, beloved. If you're in the beloved, you're saved by the grace of God. And then what about that there? Acquitted in the court of law. The believer has been acquitted in the Supreme Court of heaven. I got a little help with that acquitted. I thought I knew what it meant, but I wanted to go, and I do this because Brother Brian got me started looking at, not this Brian, Brother Brian Odell got me started looking at the Webster's 1828, and it means to set free. How many's been set free? It means to be judicially just discharged from an accusation. We got an accuser, youngins. Amen. But I've been discharged. Amen. From his accusations. Released from a debt. An obligation. Or suspicion of guilt. Old devil's the accuser of the brethren. But I'm glad I got Perry Mason. Sitting at the right hand of the Father. He never loses a case. Amen. How many's glad you come tonight? Amen. Let's learn. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Let's Let's learn from these churches that God has something in every one of them. The Bible said every word of God is pure. The Bible said all Scripture. Did you know there are places where they don't like to even read the book of Revelation? You know what? Let me just say this real quick. Look over here in verse number 1, chapter number 1, verse number 3. Chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. God put everything from Genesis to Revelation in here for you and for me, because he loved us. Amen. Wanted us to have the whole counsel of God. Thank you for coming tonight.